Good morning. And to our visitors, just letting y'all know, usually during the church offering that's going to be coming up, we lock the doors until we get enough cash to fill in the collection plate. So just fair warning, if you try to leave, it ain't going to happen. So our scripture reading this morning, which goes along with one of our songs that Voice has chosen, is from Isaiah chapter 33, verses 5 through 6. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. For we realize that soon this world is passing away, and we will feast in the house of Zion forever with Christ our Master, Lord, and Savior. Lord, we thank you for this church, for her mission. We thank you that you have been so gracious to us throughout the years, Father. Lord, we thank you for these people who are with you. We thank you for the love that they have for one another, as well as the love they have for Christ. We thank you for your holy scriptures. We thank you for our confession of faith as well, Lord, for we believe that it is the greatest system of doctrine as taught by the scriptures. Lord, we lift up this time unto you now. We ask that you would be with us by your Spirit, by your grace, and for your glory. Lord, we ask that you would be with us in a mighty way. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It is good to be here again with Steve and Janie and you all, and to worship with you and have a part, actually, I guess, in your morning and evening worship today. So thanks for the opportunity. I may be old, but my wife is not, so better get that clear. Yeah, so she's a lot younger than me. Isaiah 33. I think if there are two verses in the Bible that sort of take aim at all of the moral confusion that's out there today and spiritual decay that seems more and more rampant every day, financial uncertainty, you know, up and down. Don't put a whole lot of hope in your, investments, perhaps, maybe, but be careful, as we'll see in a moment. And the fear that can grip any one of us as to what might happen next. These two verses that we study this morning, I think, go to the heart and of some of those concerns that we all live with, face, or challenged by. They're just two verses, but they're huge, huge verses, I think. They're big, immense verses. There's a lot of depth in these verses. And it's interesting that this chapter, Isaiah 33, was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. This is one part of Isaiah that was recovered in one of those urns, yeah, at the Dead Sea Scrolls. Thanks. At the Dead Sea Scrolls, this chapter. Maybe that's, you know, providential, I'm sure. Well, you heard the verses. Let me reread them just one more time. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. Then we will dig in a little bit here. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. I want us to look at two things here this morning, or two parts to this message, I guess you might say. The text, T-E-X-T, the text, which we'll look at Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 a bit. And then the test, the test. Yes, there will be a test at the end of the message. The text and then the test. So Isaiah 33, 5 and 6, first of all, the text, these two verses, and especially we will take aim at the first line of verse 6. Now, I want this to kind of stick in your hearts and minds right now and when you walk out of here in a little while, and he will be the stability of your times. He will be the stability of your times. The setting, always, there's a setting for verses 5 and 6. There's a context for the text that we're looking at. What's going on just before verses 5 and 6? And then a little while we'll look at the rest of this chapter and get the big picture. But we see here that the setting, if you back up to verse 1, you don't have to back up too far there to verse 1. There is a setting, there's a context in which verses 5 and 6 are written or spoken. So let's try to get the bigger picture back up to verse 1. In verse 1, somebody's in trouble. I call verse 1, somebody's in trouble. And the somebody is Assyria. Let me read verse 1. Ah, you destroyer, who yourself have not been destroyed. You traitor, whom none has betrayed. When you have ceased to destroy, you will be destroyed. And when you have finished betraying, they will betray you. Assyria, the enemy of God's people. When you have ceased to destroy, you will be destroyed. So there's an enemy out here looming on the horizon, if you will. The enemy is Assyria. What should God's people do with the enemy looming out here on the horizon? It's a troublous time. What do you do? Verse 2, pray. Prayer in times of trouble. Somebody's in trouble. The somebody is Assyria. What do we do? The God's people do. Verse 2, look to him in times of trouble. O Lord, look at verse 2. It's a prayer. Be gracious to us. We wait for you. Yes, there's an enemy looming. They're out here on the horizon. They're nearby. They're at the door knocking. What do? We look to you. We wait for you. I love this phrase, verse 2. Be our arm every morning. A picture, what was that? The baking soda bottle? Arm and hammer. That arm on there. Be our arm every morning. Our salvation in the time of trouble. Somebody's in trouble, Assyria, ultimately, and God's people. Assyria will be destroyed. What do God's people do in time of trouble? They look up, be our arm every morning. And then verses 3 and 4, God will inflict trouble on the enemy. When you, at the tumultuous noise, peoples flee. When you, God, lift yourself up, nations are scattered. Oh, yes, they are. And verse 4, be careful what you hold on to, and your spoil is gathered. Now, that's sort of a word to God. Verse 3, a word to God's people. Verse 4, and your spoil is gathered as the caterpillar gathers as locusts leap. It is leapt upon. Be careful what you sort of try to hold on to. It may be taken away. Then come verses 5 and 6, highlighting God's purpose for and protection of his people in times of trouble. Verse 5 basically tells us that God is great. Verse 6 basically tells us that God is good. Verse 5 basically tells us that God, we see the supremacy of God. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, the supremacy of God. Verse 6, we see our security and our stability, and he will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge, the fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Take note, the first line of verse 6, who is it that will be the stability of our times, of your life? And he. And who is he? Well, verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. And notice Lord, all capitals, Jehovah. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the stability of your times. Not some ism, not some philosopher, not some philosophy will be the stability of your times. Not a political party will be the stability of your times. Spare us from that. But he, a person, he will be the stability of your times. It's interesting. E.J. Young points out in his commentary on Isaiah, it's interesting that the word stability is from the same root as the word faith, from which we get the word, the Hebrew word for faith. So it's sort of the stronger our faith, the stronger our stability. The stronger our stability in God, stronger our faith will be. And, of course, in the idea of the word there, stability, is constancy, trustworthiness. And he will be the constancy of your times. And he will be the trustworthiness of your times. He, and he alone. Of course, verse 5 is a clear, powerful reminder that God is God, and we're not. For the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. In fact, what verse 5 says about God are things that can only be said about God. No other. No other is exalted on high. One alone. There's some that think they are. One alone. One alone. It's interesting that our money reminds us, that's the sermon title, sort of, he is the stability of your times, in God we trust. Why does that need to be on our money? Why do we need this on here? That's a little reminder. Be careful to not trust this little piece of paper, but trust him. This will be the stability of your times? Not really. These can come and go. You can have a bunch of them, and all of a sudden you don't have too many. But it's on here to remind us, in God we trust. By the way, it's also, you want to check your eyesight, read it on a penny. It's on here, in God we trust. It's on this penny. Why do we need that on a penny? Because you could get a bunch of these, and you'd have a bunch of money. And just to remind you on every one of them, it's in God we trust. Now, if you really want to test your eyesight, it's on a dime. You try to read that. You better look at the grandchild or the great-grandchild to read this. They can read this. It is tiny. But it's on there. In God we trust. Every coin and every bill. He, our money is telling us, he will be the stability of your times. Not these little coins and these little pieces of green. They say it's on a $100 bill. I've never seen one. No, it should be on there too. It's on a penny. It's on $100. Our money even points us in the same direction as does Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. And he will be the stability of your times. Why is that so? Why is that so? Because if you are trusting in this God, the God of verse 5, the God of verse 6 here, and alone trusting in him, then you will find him to be, as we read the rest of verse 6, you will find him to be an abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. And I always say that when you try to think of what does it mean to fear God, it means to revere God. It's the easiest way to think of fear, revere. Fear God is to revere God, to step back in awe of God, to bow down before God, to reverence God, to lift him on high. It means to fear him and to step back knowing that to him I give an accounting for my life. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Your real treasure isn't in a bank account. It's in God alone. In God alone. Oh, we need to pursue, friends, the provider more than the provision. We need to pursue more the giver more than the gift. As is sometimes said, we need to pursue that which will last, not that which can pass away so quickly and is so fleeting. No wonder Jim Elliot, famous missionary to Ecuador that was martyred there in 1956, along with four other missionaries, five died one day. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose. It's basically the ending of 2 Corinthians 4. Fix your eyes not on what is of this earth, but what is eternal. What is of this earth is passing away. That which is eternal will not pass away. That's a Wilson paraphrase. Or C.S. Lewis said, he who has God in everything has no more than he who has God alone. Our years in Mexico, I've seen some pretty poor folks out in some villages and who had God alone. That's about it. But they have no more. They're just as good as the guy back in the city in Tampico where we lived who has God, but a huge house and three cars to go with it and all this stuff to go with it. Which one probably has more stress in their life, you know? But the guy out there in the village who has God alone, he who has God and everything has no more than he who has God alone. As they say too, we don't realize that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we have. And you get to that one, oh, I guess he was all I needed the whole time. And he will be the stability of your times. The text. Let's move to the test. The test. The text. Now the test. And the test is whether or not I will believe the text. Simple test. Whether or not I will believe the text. Whether or not I will live as though the text is true. By the way, it is. The test is, will I live like it? Like this text is true. Whether or not I will stake my life on this text. Whether or not God really will be the stability of my times, my heart, my life. Whether or not he will be, back up to verse 2, my arm every morning. It's kind of saying this, will he be my arm every morning to support me? Listen to a little bit of U.S. history. You'll probably think it's a lot of U.S. history, but it's just a little bit of U.S. history here. Let me read a quote. It resulted in widespread foreclosures, bank failures, unemployment, and a slump in agriculture and manufacturing. It marked the end of the economic expansion that had followed the war. When was that? When was that? You say 1929. No, go back 110 years. That's the panic of 1819. It's talking about the wars, the war of 1812. Which sort of finished in 1815. The panic of 1819. All right, let's step up a few years. 1837. And the panic of 1837, another downturn. Tough times. 1837 into the mid-1840s. Now, just down the road where I went to college, Erskine College, the seminary there, Erskine Seminary, was founded in 1837, the year the panic of 1837 starts because of some policies of Andrew Jackson, supposedly. 2 years later, 1839, the college starts. You can't start a college and a seminary in the midst of the panic of 1837. Well, if he is the stability of your times, you can. Now flip those numbers around, 37, and make it the panic of 1873. It just come through a major war. Here comes another downturn, 6 years. 6 years. It was the start, this is the panic of 1873, it was the start of the capital letter Long Depression, capital L, capital D. A severe nationwide economic depression in the United States that lasted for 6 years. The panic of 1873. On the heels of the Civil War. This easy times or tough times? Who will be the stability of your times? A little ARP history here, and sorry about that. But in 1879, at the end of those 6 years, is when the ARP sent their first missionary to Mexico, Neil E. Pressel. You can't send out missionaries in the midst of panics, especially at the end of 6 years of downturn. A tiny little denomination. You can't do that. and he will be the stability of your times. Come on up a few more years, one more panic, 1907. There's some others. I didn't even mention them all. 1907, when the New York Stock Exchange fell 50% from the peak of the year before. And notice that all of these, what are they called? The panic of. Did God panic? Isaiah 33:5-6 is, oh no. And he will be the stability of your times. In the midst of these, sort of this flow of those years of history in our country. Also insert in there the Second Great Awakening, or in that time, some of that, the earlier part of that time frame. And the moving of the Spirit of God in our country after the First Great Awakening in the 1700s, George Whitefield. The Second Great Awakening, late 1700s into about 1840-ish, in the midst of these panics. Also insert in there in 1857, the Great Revival in New York City. Where people stopped work to pray. Midday. Churches were filled with prayer. The arm of the Lord was showing itself strong in the midst of these panics. It is said that there were some 1 million conversions to Christ. Revival 1857. And there were less than 30 million people living in the country. And he will be the stability of your times. We don't realize that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we have, maybe. That's kind of what's happening here in the midst of the panics. Now what do I do? Well, maybe do verse 2. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 6. He will be the stability of your times, a person, he. When John D. Rockefeller died, it said that the secretary of Mr. Rockefeller was asked by someone, how much did he leave behind? And the answer was, all of it. That wasn't what they were expecting. Give me the number. You know. Doesn't matter. All of it. He will be the stability of our times, your times. How's that going to happen? Well, let's look at the rest of the chapter. How's this going to happen? Look at chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. Here's the one who is trusting. Here's the one who is making God, you know, his strong arm. Here's the one who knows that God alone is the stability of his times. Verse 15, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, college scandal. Don't want to hold a bribe in your hand. Who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe. There's integrity. There's fear of God. Who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from looking on evil. 16, he will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortresses of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. 17, your eyes, speaking of God's people, your eyes will behold the king in his beauty. Oh, wonder who that might be. Even King Jesus. He will be the stability of your times. Here's how it will work. And they will see a land that stretches afar. Oh, is that Bunyan's celestial city? Huh. Is that Zion that lies up ahead? Be careful going through Vanity Fair. They will see a land that stretches afar. Verse 20, Behold Zion, the city of our appointed feast. That's what we just sang about. We will feast in the house of Zion. Behold Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Oh, there's better land awaiting. There's a better home awaiting. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, an untroubled habitation, an immovable tent, whose stakes will never be plucked up. No wonder he will be the security of our time. Nor will any of its cords be broken. 21, but there the Lord in majesty will be for us, a place of broad rivers and streams. And look at the last line of verse 24, the last statement of the chapter. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. You don't have to wait to Isaiah 53 to hear the gospel. It's in 33 as well. Now, 53 is very explicit with it. It's 33. Here it is. Here it is. Your eyes will behold the King in His beauty, and He will be the stability of your times. Oh, make sure, friends, make sure, indeed, that He will. The real test is, will I believe the text? The test is, will I believe the text? And then walk out these doors and live like it. Not so that I will be made to look good. Oh, look at Wilson. He stands strong in the midst of the panics. In the midst of the test. Not that I will be made to look good. God will be made to look good. He is the one who is the stability. Now, will that mean all goes well? I have no trials. I have no problems. I mean, life, joy, and free of trials and troubles. And, well, just be reminded of the last three verses of Habakkuk and hold on to these two. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail. These are panics, you know. And the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Though there be nothing in the pantry, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Because my eyes see the King, and my eyes see the homeland. And my heart, the people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. I know that, taste that forgiveness, that grace, that feast of grace. You'll celebrate it next Sunday. Feast of grace will be on this table. The text, the test, so that God looks good. We make him great, as it were. By the way, we trust him. Let me reread verses 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. To him alone be the glory. Amen. Oh, Lord our God, we thank you for the assurance, the certainty, the strength, the encouragement to our faith and to our lives to know that you, and you alone, you uniquely and you exclusively can be and are for us as we look to you, the stability of our times. Indeed, these times are troublesome. These times are tumultuous. Father, even in the storms that come our way, even when there's no produce on the tree and the cows are not giving milk and there's no food on the table, as it were, as we read in Habakkuk, yet you alone are God and you will take care of your people and you will provide and you will show yourself strong. An abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge is ours for all who fear you and stand before you in awe and in awesomeness because of your truth, because of your character, because of your holiness, because of your grace to us as unworthy, and undeserving as we are, you will hold us fast. Oh, may we move from this room to show the world that there is one who is the rock. There is a place. There is a person. And it is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately is the stability of our hearts and of our lives and of our future and of our welfare, even this afternoon. We give you praise and thanks with much humility. We lift up your name in praise. And now grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and abide within you now and forevermore. Amen.